Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're discovering the biblical approach to building better relationships.
Some of us are hijacking our relationships from our marriage to our children to our extended relationships to our churches because we have been sucked into the vortex of our culture instead of being counterculture in the way that we live.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute, and Mark is Senior Pastor also of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Now, are there any relationships in your life that seem to have gotten a little off track, where peace and joy just don't seem to be possible? Well, today Mark is continuing a message titled Stop Hijacking Your Relationships, where he's outlining five biblical principles to help us reverse some of the toxic traits that we may be carrying. Mark's first point was that we need to start being honest and always speak the truth in love in our relationships, even when it's uncomfortable. His second principle is that we must avoid letting anger get a foothold in our lives. Anger is a natural and sometimes healthy emotion, but when we let it sit and simmer inside, we create an opportunity for the enemy to corrupt us. So let's get to today's message with the next key principle. Here's Pastor Mark Jobe.
He says, doing something useful with your hands that they may have something to share with those in need. In other words, you used to be a taker. You used to go into your relationships, your community, your church, your marriage, and you used to ask, what can I get from this? What's in it for me? He says, now that you're a believer, you're regenerated, now that you've put off the old and are putting on the new, your mentality has changed. You say, what do I have? And I work hard to earn what I have so that I can give to people that don't have. In other words, I'm a giver. I'm not a taker in my relationships. I believe that this applies to every area of our life, including the church and marriage. If you're planning on getting married and someone says, why? Well, you know, I think she can meet my needs and I don't want to be lonely and she can really help me not be lonely and, you know, and she does this and she does that. If it's all about what you can get out of it, listen, I'm going to tell you, your marriage is probably not going to last very long because if you're just a taker and you haven't gone in with the mentality that I'm a giver in this relationship, then when you stop getting what you think you need, then you will quickly want to abandon that relationship because you got into it for what you could get, not just what you could give. Can I tell you something? When COVID hit and this pandemic hit, I discovered that a lot of the people of God also, and a lot of churches, and a lot of people that were involved in churches had a little bit of a taker's mentality. All across this nation, churches were closed. You had to join online. And so people were saying, hey, it's not the same. And what are they going to do for us? And how are you meeting our needs? Churches were explosively divided over whether you wear a mask and don't wear a mask and whether you're killing people or you're stifling the praises of God. People were at odds over politics and arguing back and forth. And pastor, are you going to tell people how to vote? Or you're too political, telling people too much about that. So I'm leaving because of this. Or I'm leaving because you asked masks. I'm leaving because you don't require masks. I'm leaving because you've told people how to vote. I'm leaving because you haven't told people how to vote. Hey, I'm leaving because you're not talking about race enough. I'm leaving because you're talking too much about race. I'm leaving because there are people all across the country, I've talked to pastor after pastor who have had people in their congregation leave because they look and say, I'm not getting what I want, I'm disagreeing, and have just, it's been explosive for churches. The churches that have done the best are the churches that have looked around at their community and have said, yeah, we're going through a tough time, but this is a time where our nation is hurting. People are unemployed. There's anxiety. There's loneliness. There's brokenness. There's desperation. There's division. This is the time where the church brings the gospel of Jesus and the message of hope, and we step into people's places of pain and we meet people's needs. At the beginning of this pandemic, some of you know that I still pastor in the city of Chicago, along with being president of Moody Bible Institute. And when I stepped into it, I asked the board, can I still do this? I'm a pastor at heart. I'm an evangelist. I want to keep doing ministry. And I'll be a better president if I can do hands-on ministry. And so I believe it's the first time in Moody's history that they've allowed that, but they allowed it. So I'm still involved in the heart of Chicago doing ministry. And when this pandemic hit, we started experiencing some of the same things at our church. People were volatile about their opinions. People were concerned. People are asking, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you not doing this? And so we had some honest conversations with our pastors and honest conversations with our congregation and saying, this is the time where the church should be more alive than ever before, because we're in the midst of a nation that's being shaken to its core. And instead of fighting amongst us, why don't we roll up our sleeves and meet some needs in our community? And so what we noticed when the pandemic hit, especially in certain neighborhoods in Chicago, that a lot of people were laid off their jobs and the demand for food increased, and they had 500 people asking for food. And they came to our pastors and they said, hey, well, what are we going to do about this? We can't deliver 500. And so a couple of the pastors came together, including my son, who's 27, one of the pastors, and they said, what if we could feed 1,000 people a week? There's a lot of people hurting right now. This is an area that we could minister to our communities in the midst of this difficult time. And so they said, let's try to feed 1,000 people a week. Well, they started with 100, went to 500, went to 1,000, went to 2,000, went to 3,000, went to 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 people a week being fed week after week at 7 different locations, hundreds of volunteers feeding people in Jesus' name, praying for everybody coming through, hundreds of people going through the line, ministering to people. We became 30,000 people is 1% of the city of Chicago. In the last 15 months, 1.5 million people have been fed through the church, looking out at the community and saying, how can we be givers and not just takers at a time of need? Let me just say this. I was prayer complaining. Do you ever do that? It's really complaining that we spiritualize. We just want to moan and complain. I was prayer complaining. You know, David did that sometimes. I feel okay about it. He would prayer complain sometimes as well. I was prayer complaining while I was working with some of the homeless people on a Saturday, and I was complaining about the fact that our sanctuary would be closed on a Sunday, and I was lifting some boxes, helping this little old lady that didn't even speak English, and carrying 80-pound boxes to her car, and there was 800 cars lined up, 300 people lined up for food, and I was saying, Lord, the sanctuary's closed tomorrow, how can we minister to people? And I opened up my eyes and I realized that at that location that I was at, typically we have about 1,700 people on Sunday at that location, but that Saturday in our parking lot, we had just fed 4,000 people. And let me tell you, when the church aren't takers, but when the church develops a giver mentality, this has been an extraordinary time for the church to be the church and the people of God to minister to so many people that are hurting and broken, and they still are. But we have to take on a giver's, not a taker's mentality.
And we'll get to the next key principle for building a better relationship in just a moment. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark, let's take a minute to update our listeners on a free resource that comes out free of charge every Monday morning. Of course, I'm talking about the Bold Stepper Weekly.
Yeah, so if you don't receive the Bold Stepper Weekly, we would encourage you to sign up. It's our way of keeping in touch with you. There's a devotional thought, an update on our ministry, sometimes a personal note as well. For example, this last Monday, I talked about my anniversary. I celebrated over 3 decades of marriage to my wife, Dee, and still celebrating, still going strong. She deserves a medal of some sort.
I was going to say congratulations to you both, especially Dee.
Especially Dee, that's right, Wade. Okay.
Well, coming up this Monday, if you sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly, you'll be reading Mark's devotional and a serious topic to deal with the issue of mental health.
Yeah, you know, mental health is we're in such a crisis these days because a lot of things, but due to COVID, the uncertainty around our world, the upheaval has sent a lot of people into some scary places. Just yesterday, I was talking to a mother that was just very, very overwhelmed by her 28-year-old son that it was suicidal. And it's just pandemic the amount of people going through depression and suicide. And so this is an important topic.
I'm glad you're addressing it biblically. And again, if you'd like to be on the list for next week's edition of the Bold Stepper Weekly and read that devotional, be sure to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's move back to our message for today. It's titled Stop Hijacking Your Relationships. And here again is Mark.
Number 4, speak as a builder, not a destroyer. It says in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful to build up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, get rid of tearing down communication, unwholesome communication, corrupt communication, obscene, vulgar, rotten, corrupt, poor quality. He defines it by saying, if your conversation is tearing other people down, then just stop doing it. Hello. There's been more tearing down conversations in this last year than I've seen in my life. Less grace shown. More accusations, more hard criticism than I've seen in ages before. And this is not just on the internet or social media online. This is seeped into churches and families and relationships. And so he says, if it doesn't build them up, then just don't say it. Some of us would be very silent if we practiced this. And number 5, and I'm going to close with this. Do not grieve the Spirit. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The last thing that he says is this, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, so hang with me. The last thing that he says is, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm talking to those of you in the back too, I see you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been granted the third person of the Godhead to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit is not a force, a power. He's not just a fire. It's the third person of the Godhead, God himself living inside of you. The paraclete, the one who walks alongside of us and empowers us to live out what Jesus called us to live. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for unto the day of redemption. What does that mean, don't grieve the Holy Spirit? That means that God who lives inside of you at the day of redemption, you cannot be a believer, by the way, If someone told you, are you a Christian, but do you have the Holy Spirit? You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who regenerates you. It's at the day of your salvation, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and starts to regenerate you from the inside out. There is no such thing as a believer that does not have the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not always have the empowerment of the Spirit. You may be grieving the Spirit, but you cannot be a believer without the Holy Spirit. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but you can grieve the Spirit. And what does it mean to grieve the Spirit? Well, it means that there are times as you are living your life that the Spirit who lives inside of you, God who lives inside of you, is grieved by the way that you are living. That Spirit causes you to have joy. So when you're walking in obedience and living for God, there's a joy. When we are living in a way that is contrary to how God wants us to live, when resentment has clouded our heart, when unforgiveness is buried within our soul, when we're living in disobedience, then we start grieving the Spirit. And here's what happens. We lose our joy. And we sense the grief of the Spirit inside of us. And so His grief becomes our grief, just like His joy becomes our joy. And suddenly now we're people that are following God, but we lack our joy. There's a heaviness about us. You don't like to worship like you used to. You can't get into the Word like you used to get into the Word because you're under conviction. It's there. There's a grief that's inside of you. And notice what He says. Listen. He relates it to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. He relates it to attitudes that live in our soul towards people in our life that tends to grieve us and grieve the Holy Spirit so that we lose that sense of joy that we had before and we live grieving the Spirit. I'm talking about relationships here. And when you have bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and you're not compassionate, forgiving, releasing, just as God forgave and released you, then there's a sadness, a grieving that exists within your heart and soul that does not allow you to embrace the life that God has called you to. Some of us are hijacking our relationships from our marriage to our children to our extended relationships to our churches because we have been sucked into the vortex of our culture instead of being counterculture in the way that we live. And there's a rebuilding within the church, within families, and within marriages that needs to take place during this time. Can I just tell you this? It's impossible to live what I just explained out of the Word of God unless you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And I'm just saying the church needs to be the church full of love and full of the power of God so that we can minister to a hurting world. But if we are grieving the Holy Spirit, then we can never. If our churches are broken and divided, if our families and our marriages are broken and divided, if we're not living that way, then we can never give to the world what we do not have. What I've just talked about is impossible, absolutely 100% impossible for you to live. You cannot forgive like Jesus calls you to forgive. You cannot love like God calls you to love. You can't be a giver unless, first of all, He dwells inside of you. It is impossible to try to live up to the morality of Christianity and the heart of Christianity without Christ inside of you. So you'll look at what I just said and say, no, I can't do that. If you're here today and God has been drawing you, I don't have to convince people if God has been drawing them to Himself because they know. You may not always know that it's God, but you know there's something missing. And the voice of God and the Spirit of God draws people to Himself. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Mark, I'm here at this camp. I didn't even know you were going to speak. I don't even know who you are. Never heard of your name until today. But I know that God has been calling me to Himself. And I have never given my life to Jesus Christ, and I know that I need to do that. And maybe God brought me to this camp on this 4th of July, this Day of Independence, to give my life to Jesus. I don't ever ask people to close their eyes, bow their head, because I figure if you can't follow Jesus and be bold about a decision in a place where hundreds of people are followers of Jesus, then it'll never last outside. So with eyes wide open, no one bowing their head, no one closing their eyes, I'll be bold enough to ask at Maranatha Conference Center, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Mark, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ, I've never done that, but I know I need to. I came to this camp, and I know I've never bowed my knee and allowed Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never done that. I've been around Christians, but I've never done that, and I know I need to. Then I want to challenge you. Don't leave this camp without talking to someone about what it means to give your life over to Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It starts there. And if you're here and God has convicted you about a specific relational issue that needs to be fixed in your life, it may be your spouse. If you're a son or daughter, it may be your parents or relative. Or a pastor that you need to talk to, or someone in the congregation, but that you realize I'm holding resentment and anger and bitterness in my heart, and it's taken away my joy. I want to pray with you. You will be in disobedience if the Spirit of God has convicted you and you choose to do nothing about it. You will be walking in disobedience. So if God has convicted you, challenge you, then make a note. I will call him today. I will speak with her. I will write a letter. Whatever your step needs to be taken for you to do to begin to walk in the obedience that God has called you to walk into. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to live in a radical way in a disrupted world. You've called us to live countercultural. Forgive us, God, for getting sucked in to the vortex of this culture and being just like this culture, but sometimes with another label. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open up our eyes to the hurting, to the needs, to the brokenness around us, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would allow us to step into those spaces with hope and with the gospel and see people come to Christ, Father. I pray for that person right now that may be wrestling with a step of obedience. Would you grant us the grace and the courage and the boldness, Father, not to back away from that step of obedience that you've called us to take? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, a message titled, Stop Hijacking Your Relationships. Now, Mark, a word about tomorrow's program. You're beginning a new message about the famous story of the prodigal son. It's titled, Returning Back to the Father's Heart. Give us just a glimpse of what's ahead tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a powerful passage because there are so many spiritual prodigals that, and this passage gives us an insight into the heart of God. And we're going to look at phases in the prodigal journey, the running phase, the consequence phase, the awakening phase, the shame phase, and the restoration phase.
All right, sounds good. And that's coming up tomorrow. But remember, if you ever miss one of these daily messages, you can always catch up over on our website at boldstepsradio.org. Or if you'd prefer to listen while you're out for a jog or running errands, be sure to download the Bold Steps podcast. You'll find us on many podcast platforms by simply searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And then feel free to leave a comment or share the podcast with a friend. As we near the end of the month, we want to make sure you don't miss out on our special Bold Steps gift. It's a tool that will help you spend this summer making healthier changes in the areas that truly matter. Written by Dr. Kathy Cook, it's a book titled Five to Thrive, How to Determine If Your Core Needs Are Being Met and What to Do When They're Not. As Christians, we know that self-sacrifice and humility are a part of godly living. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to ignore our most basic needs or feel guilty about wanting to be healthier. And in this valuable Bold Steps gift, Dr. Cook shows us how each of the five most essential human needs are fulfilled and reimagined when we accept God's guidance toward growth. Learn how to evaluate your life and your behaviors and your greatest potential by requesting your own copy of Five to Thrive. We'll be happy to send it to you when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And that brings us to the end of our program. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you back tomorrow for the start of Mark's new message titled, Returning Back to the Father's Heart. Discover the consequences of running from God and how to get back to His presence. That's Thursday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.